You know, you all are just a wonderful group of faces to behold on a Sunday morning. I absolutely love it. Lord, thank you so much, Father, for bringing us here this morning to worship you, Lord, this morning. We just want to look at the mission that you have us on. Lord, we want to look at where you're taking us, where we desire to go, Lord, and we desire to follow you. We desire that the name of Jesus Christ, which is the name above every name, we desire that it be lifted up in our lives, in this congregation here, Lord, and in this world. Father, we commit this time to you. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so this is not going to be your regular sermon. Regular sermons will resume next week as we begin the Gospel of Luke. This sermon right here this morning is going to be just like a little bit more interactive. Kids, I'm definitely going to need your participation for this. So feel free to go ahead and work on your workbooks. But there's going to be some spots, and I'll explain more in just a moment, but there'll be some spots where I'm going to definitely need your participation. Okay, so before we get into this, well, we're going to be covering mission, vision, and strategy. And before we get into that, though, I want to quickly introduce up on the screen our elders. And this is going to require some audience participation as well. I want you to just shout out. I'm going to give you a little hint. It's a quiz. I'll give you a hint, and you just shout out the elder that you think I'm talking about. Number one, all right, this elder says, they say gray hair is a sign of wisdom. I say it just gets me senior discounts long before my time. Who is it? Steve Seaman, very good. You guys are great. And there he is. Okay, now, this elder ran a marathon. Juan, very good. All right, good job. Okay, this elder, his grandson calls him bye-bye. Joel, very good. Great. Okay. This elder has the most kids of all the elders. Jeff Riley, very good. Okay. All right. This elder still has a baby tooth. Who is it? Not me. Ben Matthew, very good. Okay, and this elder is a part-time flight nurse. Who is it? Yes, it's me. Very good. All right. Great job. Okay, so now, kids, here, throughout this message, there's going to be just a few spots. Not lots and lots, but just a few spots where you're going to see the name of Jesus. You're going to see the name of Jesus. And what I want you to do, when you see the name of Jesus, and adults, feel free to join right in. I want you to, you can clap, hooray, shout, you can say hallelujah, but we want to lift the name of Jesus high up. All right, so now, you might be shy right now. Right now, you're shy because you're thinking, well, I can't shout in church, right? But the Bible says, shout to the Lord, okay? So I just want to get a little test from you, and then we'll go on to the next slide here. So let me hear you, kids. When you see this slide, what do? You shout, and you just say, hooray! Let me hear you. One, two, three, hooray! Good job. I knew you could do it. I thought, oh, they're going to be shy because it's church. But I knew you could do it, and you did it. Wonderful. Okay, now, the next thing is that if you see this slide, And I think it's in there two or three times. Jesus is in there two or three times. And this light is in there two or three times. Now, do we want sin in our lives and idolatry? No, we don't. We don't want it at all. So what I want you to do, when you see this slide, I want you to say, boo! So on the count of three, don't be shy. Nice and loud. I want you to say, boo! All right, ready? One, two, three, boo! Good job, everyone. Okay. All right. So, our mission. This is the mission of Anchor Community Church. What is a mission? It defines who we are and what we're all about. And so our mission, the Anchor Community Church, is a community of followers of Jesus Christ. Our love for Him drives our love and service to each other and the world for the glory of God. Now, Acts 4:13 says, "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." Something special took place. People recognized Peter and James and John. People recognized the apostles as people who were connected with Jesus. And that's what we want to be true of our lives. That's who we claim to be. We claim to be Christians. We're followers of Him. And the Lord wants us to look like that. And we want to look like that, to look like followers of Him. And verse 11 and 12, in that same chapter, says this. They're preaching a sermon. It says, "He is the stone which was rejected, Jesus. He's the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." And so, if you come to Him, Jesus, we know that if you come to Him, and the Bible says this, Jesus says this, if you come to Him, He will be to you living water. If you come to Him, He will be to you the bread of life. He promises that your joy will be made full. He promises, "I will go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you to myself." He gives a hope that is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. Will you take it? This is our mission, to be followers of Him. And there is no other God that can rival Him. Will you join this mission and follow Jesus? Kids, are you ready? One, two, three, hooray! Good job. All right, so our love for Him drives our love and service to each other and the world. So Luke chapter 10, verse 27, He answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." You want to know the story that comes immediately after this? It's the story of the Good Samaritan, right? And so it's a demonstration, because somebody asked Jesus, "Okay, well, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor?" Well, Jesus said, when he gave this story, he did it to demonstrate that even people even people who really shouldn't get along at all, or don't, I should say, who don't get along at all. See, the Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. And so it's about loving the Jews and the Samaritans. And John 13:35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Titus 2:14 says that we ought to be filled with good works, zealous for good works. And then for the glory of God. Okay, so Psalm 115 says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory." So we as individuals and we as a church, definitely, we don't want to be about getting the glory for ourselves. We don't want to be about pointing the finger to how great I am or to how great we are as a church. We want to give the glory to God. I love how in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 through 31, it says that no man may boast before God. By his doing are we in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. And so all that we have and all that we are is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to make our boast in him as a church. And Isaiah 42:8 says, "I'm the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved idols." All praise belongs to God. And should we bow down to any other God? Kids, 1, 2, 3, boo! No, we don't want to bow down to any other God. So, one more verse, Revelation 5:12 says, "In a loud voice they said, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" And that's what we desire to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if that's our mission, if mission says what we're about and who we are, then our vision really defines where we're going. We can easily see in the Christian life, right, that nobody is perfect, and there is no church that is perfect. And I've heard it said before, if you're looking for the perfect church, don't join it because it won't be perfect anymore, right? And so, because we're all imperfect. And sanctification, there's a sense about sanctification in which it's something in which we stand. We stand completed in Christ. But there's also the sense in which it is a journey. It's something that happens progressively. We're not completely holy. Like, you can look at my life and you know that I am not completely holy. I have not been glorified. Same thing for us as a church. You can come in here and you won't see perfection. You will find sin. And we don't like that. And I don't like that. And it ought to make us feel uncomfortable to have sin. But that doesn't mean we can't strive. That doesn't mean we can't really, really try. Like the Bible says, to apply all diligence, to work hard, to labor. We seek to lay hold of that for which also Christ Jesus laid hold of us. So we want to, he has us. We're completely secure in him. But he wants us to strive after him as he's reaching and holding on to us with a firm, eternal grip. He wants us to be reaching and striving to lay hold of him. So there's that little tension going on. there. And so vision, that's part of what vision is. And so even Jesus exercised vision. Jesus, when he came down from heaven to earth, he knew what he was about. By the time he was 12 years old, any 12-year-olds in here? Any 12 years old? There we go. By the time he was 12 years old, he knew what his mission was. I mean, he probably knew before that, but when they had went to Jerusalem for Passover and Jesus stayed behind and his parents left in the caravan, and then his parents after 3 days said, "Hey, where's Jesus? And what was he doing?" And he said to his mom and dad, "Didn't you know? Didn't you know? I had to be about my father's business. I had to be in my father's house." Wow, he knew what his mission was. And he told people, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He knew his purpose. He came down to get the lost sheep. He came down to recover them. He took a step down. And did anything stop him? Temptations in the wilderness, Luke chapter 4? No. Peter saying, "No, Jesus, I will never let this happen to you. You are not going to, nobody's going to lay a finger on you. You are not going to the cross. You're not going to be beat up. You're not going to be mocked and spit upon. Nope, Jesus, I won't let it happen." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." He knew the purpose for which he had come. Now, did any persecution stop Jesus, Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Roman soldiers? Did any of those things stop Jesus? No. No. He continued steadfast and he went to the cross. So having a vision is a guide for us. It's a guide for action for us. It's something that we want to pursue. And number one, to be passionate followers of Jesus Christ through the ministry of God's word and the power of his Spirit. So Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, we are the apple of his eye. And let's us fix our eyes upon him. Is there anything more precious in this world to behold than to behold Jesus? You know, the Thessalonians, when they came to the Lord, you know what they did? It says in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, it says this. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And are we going to bow down to idols? Is that what we want? It's possible. It's possible. We have eternal security, but it's possible to take your focus off the Lord. It's possible that your affections can be cooled down. We know the church at Ephesus, we know Laodicea, we know Demas. Demas took his eyes off the Lord and put them on the world. And he loved this present world. Is that what we will do? Kids, will you turn to sin and idolatry? Boo! No way. No way. We do not want to do. We want to turn to the one and only Jesus. Hooray! All right. Now, Romans chapter 12. All right. This one here. All right. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I, you know, something is so amazing. I just want to read to you this little gem right out of the Bible itself. It's in Psalm 19. And I'll just give, so it describes the words of God as perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, enduring forever. It says that the benefits of the Bible, it restores your soul, makes wise the simple, it rejoices your heart, enlightens your eyes. It says they're more desirable than gold. I want to tell you some of the most joyful times that I have in my life is when I'm sitting at my desk and I have the Word of God in front of me and I have a pen in hand and my paper right next to me and I am just digging into the wonderful jewels of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, it rejoices my heart. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't read the Bible, read the Bible. Pick it up. Start with 5 minutes, just 5 minutes a day. Start with just 5 minutes a day. And read it more and more. And watch and see what happens. All right. And the power of His Spirit. So Ephesians 3 says, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. See, I want to tell you something. It can be a scary thing. It can be a frustrating and daunting thing to see the holiness of God. And you see His perfection. And you see His call on your life. And you see that it says that the Lord is holy, therefore you also be holy. And you say, oh, wretched man that I am. How can I do this? There's no way. Lord, help me. So the amazing things. Now, like I said, we're not going to be glorified until we get to heaven. But one thing that we do have that is absolutely astonishing, so amazing, we have the Holy Spirit that God has placed within us. And let me tell you this. You think that if people who don't like you give you stuff, if you bug them a lot, right? People will sometimes give you stuff if you bug them a lot. But God loves us. And so if we ask Him for His gifts and His strength, and He loves us, He's for us, He's on our side. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He's going to rise up and do something. The Psalms, check them out. Read the Psalms. The psalmist praises the name of the Lord because God hears him. Oh Lord, I praise your name. I called to you and you heard me. Now we don't always feel like that. We can, and that's in the Psalms there too. But the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. That's what it says. Proverbs and Psalms and Peter say that. They say just that. And the second point of our vision is that we want to be a unified church that loves and cares deeply for one another, to be a unified church. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right, God has already, the Lord Jesus Christ has already unified us in one body. He has already done that. And so how do we demonstrate that and practically live it out? Humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another. Like I said, we are not perfect. We are not perfect. And so, but these four characteristics, these are things that are, that preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, let me just say at this point in time that if you look around you this morning, you can see there were some families that left this year. And they were fellow believers, lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ, followers, fellow followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say, I miss them. I miss them. I miss their faces. They're wonderful, wonderful people. And in seeking out to live, or in seeking to live out unity with one another, I just want to say I encourage healthy relationships with not only people here, but people all over, believers in all churches here in Dubuque and elsewhere. Right? We're not the only ones. And so we encourage healthy relationships with those in our body and with believers at all churches. And also, there's many who've come to ACC this year, and we welcome you. We are glad to see you. We're glad that you're here. We welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And please know that we want to pursue all the more to be a unified church that loves and cares deeply for one another. And just also want to say one other side point. Now, if you can look around too again, and you see lots and lots and lots of kids and babies, right? We've had so many babies this last year, the last 2 years, more years than that. And we are so thankful for them. One thing that on behalf of the elders that we wanted to say is that we used to do Bibles for babies, and we didn't intentionally put that aside, but we just want to say we're going to be starting that up again, and so we're going to take a celebration Sunday, an upcoming celebration Sunday, and kind of get that going again, because we want to show our support and love and care and gladness for the new addition of all these sweet little faces. And through the exercise of our spiritual gifts, you know, Romans chapter 16, I'll just say this here. That whole chapter, if you just give it a quick read over, here's what you find. You find a lot of people working hard. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Verse 9. Greet Urbanus, fellow worker in Christ. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. And then verse 3. Greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who, and check this out, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. I encourage you, even if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, just to try something, just to get plugged in, get involved. We're so thankful. I think that we have so many people that are involved, and we are so glad for that. But if you're not, and you're not sure of what your spiritual gift is, just go ahead and try something, and you might find a new passion. You might find, you might discover a spiritual gift, and watch what happens here again in verses 3 and 4. It says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks." Now watch this. "To whom not only do I give thanks," Paul was super thankful to Priscilla and Aquila because they had risked their necks for him. So he was thankful. Now, check this out. "But also the churches of the Gentiles." The churches of the Gentiles. Paul was saying that the churches of the Gentiles were also thankful to Priscilla and Aquila, because Priscilla and Aquila had risked their necks for Paul, who was ministering to them. So why do I bring that up? I just want to show that the efforts that you have that you don't think other people see, they do have an effect on the whole body. Because in a sense, when you minister, you're ministering to everybody, in a sense. And so it's just an encouragement to go ahead and minister and to know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. All right, and we want to be working for Jesus. Kids, let's see if you're still paying attention. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Hooray! All right, for Jesus. Okay. And so lastly, we want to love our diverse community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to build the church throughout the world through a ministry of multiplication. And Romans 10 there says, "How will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without a herald? How will they hear unless someone tells them, 'I'm here. I'm here because someone brought me to a Bible study.'" And so we want to be people who tell others the gospel. And our strategy. So mission defines who we are, vision where we're going, and strategy is how are we going to get there. Now, I'm just going to run through. Here's a chart demonstrating just the various ministries that we have. It shows, as you can see, it shows the elder who is in charge of overseeing those ministries, and then it shows all the various ministry directors and the particular area of ministry which they oversee. All right, so Johnny Loveless, he is the ministry director for preaching. Michaela Beckman is the ministry director for communication. So that's ACC Facebook group, ACC update, creative announcements, website. Emily Stroutman over the women's ministry. It's Bible studies, book club, gather, toddler time, prayer partners. Men's ministry. There is currently, as if within the last few weeks, an opening there. Youth ministries. Sean McDonald and Brian Burton. And children's ministries, Sarah Poling, Beth Arjona, Nurfer Nursery Sunday School. Roger is facilities care, security, communion elements. And just a brief note, we did want to say for building. Obviously, you can see that we don't have a permanent building, but what we do have is a building that is huge and that has a ton of room in it, and we're so thankful to be able to be renting this space for now. And it's provided for all of our needs, and we are so grateful. Now, what do we want to do about not having a building? One thing that comes into play in our thinking is we're thinking about resources, obviously. Resources. What is the best use of our resources at this point in time? So a body changes, it fluctuates. The needs change. It's constantly, they're always in motion. And so building needs change at the same time. We're just looking at what will be the best thing to do for us with the resources that we have. One thing that we do want to do, for sure, without a doubt, that will never change, is we want to invest in people. We want to shepherd people. We want to invest in the lives of other people. And the kingdom of God is not a building, it is people. Not to say buildings are not important, but that's one unchangeable focus that we want to have. Welcome team is Amy Hernandez. So she's over signage, setup, teardown, greeters, and coffee. And life group is Nick Meyer. It's life group administration, leadership development. Financial oversight is Justin Smith. And Jesse Fullen is over music ministry, music teams, youth music, audio visual, computers, and sermon upload. And Ben Kearns is over 1212 prayer, evangelism, missions, outreach events, and prison ministry. And so I just want to let you know the ministry directors do a ton of work, a ton of work. And so encourage a ministry director today. And where will you serve? Where is it that you want to serve? Where do you see yourself fitting in here? And a little secret that we want to tell you. It's not a secret. You already know. But Zach and Paul have really felt a sense of call to serve the Lord. And we, as a church, we want to be their sending church. And so we are so happy and excited for them. And we're so happy to stand behind them as a church. And there's much more to come on that later. But as a church as a whole, for our mission, our vision, we want to be aimed at Jesus Christ. We want to be following him with our whole lives. And as I said at the beginning, this is not like going to be a normal sermon. We've delivered a lot of information to you very quickly. But one thing for certain that I want you to leave with, that I want you to know that we want to do as a church, is that we definitely want to be lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And kids, can you help me one last time? One, two, three. Hooray! Hooray for Jesus. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to call the praise team up right now. Lord, as the praise team comes up, I just want to give you thanks and praise, Father. We want to aim our lives at you, Lord. We want to give you our all. We want to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, we thank you so much for this body of believers, Lord. And we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he's done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.